Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
Hey, happy new year, everybody. Can you believe it? It is the first day of a brand new year, 2023. I'm so excited about it. In fact, I'm not just excited, I am pumped. Because as I look back at the last couple of years, let's face it, they were kind of difficult years. So we have a new beginning. So I'm excited about that. So I know a lot of you, as you look at a new year, you're thinking, well, okay, you're going to have some New Year's resolutions, and you're going to establish some goals and things like that, or maybe not. Maybe you say, you know what, every year that I've done New Year's resolutions, it hasn't quite worked out, or I've done the goal thing. So I did a little bit of research on that, and I found there was a study that says that 9 to 12% of the people actually keep their New Year's resolutions. So here's some interesting stats that I saw. Of those who make New Year's resolutions, 75% are successful after 1 week, which means 25% dropped off. After 1 month, the number drops to 64%. After 6 months, 46% of the people who made New Year's resolutions are successful in keeping them. Well, what if there was something better than a New Year's resolution? There is, and it's called prayer. Maybe you've never ever thought of it that way. And so we are going to focus on prayer. Sarah was up here a little bit earlier, and she was talking about some of the things that we're doing to make the month of January all about prayer. We're going to have 31 days of focus on prayer. And so we want everybody that's a part of our church, Pacific Life Church, we want you to get involved. And we're going to have the link that she talked about. You can go to our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and get on that link. And we also have this book by Phil Wickham, very well-known worship leader. And I've already checked into it. It's an amazing book. You can take notes. It's kind of sort of a journal in a way, but it will really, really inspire you to pray. And then we're going to finish it off in a very beautiful, powerful way, something that Pacific Life Church has never done, and that is on the very 31st day of January, we are going to have 24 hours of prayer. I've never done this before. It's so powerful. What we're going to do is we're going to invite people to sign up, and we're going to try to cover every hour of that day. So there's at least 24 people taking an hour, or maybe more people, we actually hope, that we will be praying, and we just believe that that is going to be so amazing. It's going to establish a foundation for the entire year for our church and for your life personally. So today, I'm going to talk about the why of prayer. Why do we pray? And then next week, we're going to talk about the how, and then followed by the what of prayer, and then the when of prayer. So let me start by talking about why I think prayer is better than a New Year's resolution. I like establishing goals, setting goals, almost every New Year's of my life, I've had New Year's resolutions, and in fact, 1 year, I made the New Year's resolution to quit being so awesome, and I actually broke it the very first week, so, you know, it was kind of tough, but no, in all seriousness, I've established a lot of New Year's resolutions throughout the years. And a lot of them, like you, these are the kind of resolutions, like health resolutions, like, you know, I want to eat healthier and just be healthier. Family New Year's resolutions about, you know, giving more time to, at some point, my kids and to my wife and family, just how I structure my time. Financial goals, and probably a lot of you have those. Spiritual goals, almost every year, some kind of a spiritual goal that I have. Breaking bad habits, you ever have those kind of goals? And I think they're awesome. I think that people ought to do them. I think that in some ways they've made my life better. But None of those things, and this is really, really important to what we're going to be talking about today, none of those things have made me more acceptable or more lovable in the eyes of God. That's why I think sometimes almost if you're good at doing this, and I'm actually pretty good at it. I usually have kept most of my resolutions and I really go after my goals. If you're good at it, it can almost, if you're not careful, be a barrier to your prayer life. And so let me explain this. Sometimes if you are the kind of person who can reach your goals, there's a sense that, do I really need to pray? Because I'm pretty awesome, right? I can pull it off. You know, I've set a goal, I meet a goal, I have a resolution, I kept my resolution. And sometimes there's that can sort of affect our tendency or our urge or our desire to even pray. So here's what I can tell you about prayer as it relates to my life. I've actually seen more accomplished in my life through prayer than all of the self-help books that I've ever read. And by the way, I've read hundreds of self-help books. By all of the goals that I've set, the resolutions that I've set, by all of the conferences that I've been to, all of the podcasts that I've listened to, more has been accomplished in my life by prayer than all of those things, and I can say this confidently, put together. And that is why when you pray, and this is the reason why, that when you pray, God does the work, not me. When I pray, it's all about what God is doing, not me. And the same is true for you. For instance, when I pray, God is making the changes in my life. When I pray, God is transforming my heart. I can't transform my own heart. When I pray, God is changing my desires and my affections. When I pray, God is showing me his revealed will for my life. When I pray, God is working things out in the spiritual realm in ways that can never happen in the physical realm. At least I can't make it happen, but God can make it happen. So, having said that, let me talk about why people don't pray, or maybe why they don't pray very much, okay? And so I'm going to start with why people don't, and then we're going to talk about why you should. So first of all, we don't pray for fear of being naive. Now, let me explain this one a little bit. I think for some people, they see prayer as kind of a superstition or kind of a lucky charm kind of a thing. And we live in a sophisticated society with all kinds of resources. And I think sometimes we're afraid people are going to look at us as sort of being simplistic, like, oh, you're going to pray. Well, good for you if that's all you can do. And we fear that people think we're desperate, we're incompetent, or we're just naive. It's not like we live in a third world country. We have resources, right? We have answers to almost everything, and prayer to some degree seems maybe even kind of simplistic. But here's the thing about prayer. You can't master prayer. You can't master it. Prayer always means submission, and sometimes that's hard for us. We don't get to control the narrative in prayer. There's only humility and there's hope, and that's what we bring to God when we pray. To pray is to get our hopes up, right? And we've learned to avoid that, and so sometimes that's why we avoid prayer. Secondly, we don't pray for fear of silence. Prayer means the risk of silence when we are addicted to noise. I know some people, they're so addicted to noise, they have to have white noise just to go to sleep. Like, we just want noise in our life. But what do you do when you come before a God and there's nothing but silence? It's kind of scary, right? And what if it's just crickets? What if God doesn't speak? What an awkward experience. Or here's one. What if God does speak and he says something that I don't really want to hear? Maybe we think that it'll be boring. I think that a lot of people think that about prayer. Or it'll be awkward, or why would God want to talk to me anyway? I'm not exactly a saint. We don't pray for fear of silence. We don't really know what to do with that. We don't pray for fear of selfish motives. Now, this doesn't apply to everybody, but sometimes I think we can be paralyzed by self-evaluation. For this is the person who sometimes I fall into this category, who literally overthinks everything. We begin to pray and we think, oh, wait a second. Is my heart right in this? Are my motives kind of twisted up as I'm praying about this? And we stop ourselves cold in our tracks and we say, is this a selfish prayer? And it just kind of messes with us a little bit. We don't pray for fear of selfish motives. This is what C.S. Lewis said. He said, speaking of prayer, he said, we must lay before him what is in us, not what ought to be in us. Did you catch that? We sometimes think, well, if I'm going to come before God, I guess all got to be right. But I don't think God's nearly as concerned about that as just the fact that we would just come to him and then just begin to talk to him. By the way, when you find yourself second-guessing yourself in prayer, there's a very strong possibility that the enemy of your soul, yes, the devil himself, is messing with your head. Because I'm going to tell you this, nobody wants you to not pray more than the devil. Nothing terrifies our enemy like prayer. And then, lastly, we don't pray for fear of doing it the wrong way. When I first became a pastor, I found myself in settings with other pastors. And I remember listening to some of these pastors, and they prayed so eloquently, and they just had these silver tongues, and I would listen to their prayers, and I was captivated by their prayers, but I was also intimidated by their prayers. And then I thought to myself, what if they call on me to pray? Like, after hearing those guys, I just felt like I couldn't even pray. And I remember as just this intimidation factor that I had for a long, I'd find myself almost hiding under a table or like trying to, you know, go to the corner room. Like, I can't pray like those guys can pray. But all God is looking for in a prayer is just honesty. If you pray an honest prayer, you nailed it. Just pray it from your heart. I like what Richard Foster said, who's written several books on spiritual disciplines. He says, now catch this, by praying, we learn to pray. Wow. It's like, that's it? How profound. But it's so true. By praying, we learn to pray. So I told you a few reasons about why people don't pray, maybe why you don't pray, or maybe you find it a struggle to pray. But really, why should we pray? Especially all this month, we're going to be doing a lot of praying. Well, first of all, we pray because you're overwhelmed. Sometimes we're just overwhelmed. And it's humbling to admit that sometimes with all the resources, with all my education, with all my amazing technology, with Google, with YouTube, with TED Talks, with everything that I have at my disposal, that I still can't always meet my own needs. I'm reading this book right now by a guy named Tyler Staton. It's called Praying Like Monks and Living Like Fools. And this was what he says. He says, we kick like mad to keep our heads above water all the time, all the while talking passively to an imagined God who is powerless to do most anything except give us the right perspective to make it through the day. We dwindle God down to a divine being just as overwhelmed and powerless as we are. And our prayers to that God are understandably vague and infrequent. You ever felt that way? You know, one of the things that I am very, very impressed by is people that believe so much in the power of prayer that they're not afraid to tell other people about it and actually reach out to other people about it. About 2 days ago, I received a telephone call from a woman who left a voicemail on my phone. So whenever I don't recognize a number, probably like a lot of you, I just don't answer. Like, I don't know who this is, so I'm not going to answer, you know, my cell phone. But she left a 2.5-minute message on my cell phone. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a long message. I could see it, you know, before I even started listening to it. I thought, well, maybe this is really important. So I listened to it, and I've never met this woman. She was a woman from Iowa, and she was calling about her aunt who is in a hospital in a critical condition here in San Diego. And so, I listened to it, and I thought, well, you know, I should probably call her. And so I called her up, and she was a really nice lady, and she just was so fearful about what was going on with her aunt. And apparently, she just randomly opened up some kind of a book of pastors in San Diego, and my name appeared. And so she thought she would call me. I can't tell you how impressed I was by that. That she just started calling up pastors and saying, well, if I call enough people and if enough people pray, I believe that my aunt is going to be okay. Wow. And then I thought about, well, what about the people that reach out, like they believe so much in prayer that they'll actually put it on social media? I mean, there's a lot of things we put on social media, you know, our best life, you know, and the vacation that we were just on, and maybe sometimes we use it for marketing purposes and things like that. But I love it. I'm so impressed when every once in a while somebody gets really vulnerable and they say, hey, I'm going through a really hard time, and I'm overwhelmed, and I just need prayer. Makes me think of my own daughter, Rachel. And of course, some of you, I want to thank all of those of you that prayed with us about my grandson, Silas. And so he's only 2 months old and just got incredibly sick and had to be life flighted out of a little town called Ruidoso that he lives in New Mexico to this other hospital. And so Rachel and her husband, Micah, were with little Silas for 7 days in a hospital. They were in that room, and it was really, really critical. And there were so many people that were praying because my daughter believes in the power of prayer, and I hope that you do as well. Pray when you're overwhelmed. Secondly, we should pray because trust comes before faith. The Bible says in Hebrews, it says, faith is the assurance of what we hope for. But trust is confidence in the character of God. And therein lies our struggle sometimes. Can I really trust God? Well, here's the thing. You will never learn to trust God until you get some history with God. You've got to put yourself out there and say, I'm going to pray to this God that I don't completely understand. Trust allows us to say, I don't understand what God is doing right now. I can't tell you how many times I've said that, God, I'm not sure what you're doing right now, but I trust that you are a good God. I trust that you have my back. I trust that you have my best intentions in mind. And so I develop trust as I begin to pray and as I begin to establish history with God. Suddenly I pray more confidently and I have more faith based on the trust that I've established with him. And then we pray because complaints are welcome. Don't you love that? Complaints are welcome. You know, I don't think God's nearly as concerned about our mixed motives as we are. Sometimes the hesitancy we have, like, I don't know, should I bring this to God or not? It sounds kind of like a complaint. So, case in point right here. I'm gonna read to you a few prayers that come from the inspired, inerrant, canonical scriptures, okay? They made the cut. And here they are. You ready for this one? May burning coals fall on them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise. Psalm 140:10. Here's another one. I'm worn out with calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. Psalm 69:3. I pour out before him my complaint before I tell him my trouble. Did you catch that part? I pour out my complaint. God, you know, the complaint department in heaven is wide open. And when we're going through struggles, God is like, yeah, just bring it to me. So here is what I've learned about God. You can keep it real with God. Isn't that beautiful? You can relax, take a deep breath, keep it real with God. Why would we ever fake it? Why would we ever think, well, I don't know, if I do come to God, I have to present myself a certain way? I mean, there have been times in my life when I came before God and just going through some really tough stuff, when I was so angry. And then there have been times in my life when I took it beyond anger, I was enraged. I was angry at God and I was enraged at what was going on in my life. And when I came before God, I established enough history with God to know that he wasn't going to smite me, you know, as says in that one movie, Oh Smiter. God's not going to do that because God loves me and God cares for me. And he understands my pain and my confusion. And the same is true of you. So you can bring your complaints to God. Everything's going to be okay. And then finally, pray because God is your friend, and you can be honest with a friend. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 15. He said, "I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." That's what a friend does. Friendships are developed, and they take time. But what happens is after a while, you develop a level of trust, and you start to get honest with your friends, and you can tell them anything and everything that's going on with your life. Now, if you don't feel like God is your friend, then I would suggest to you that you have a conversation with God about that. And here's what I know to be true. I know that if you begin to talk to God and say, "God, maybe I don't even trust you. I'm not sure how much I really know you, but I hear that you can be a friend." I know that God will begin to help you, and God will begin to reveal himself to you. And I know that in very short order, you will discover that indeed, God is your friend. So let me wrap this up this way. My dad lived by a principle of work. He was really like a working guy. And he used to tell me as I was growing up, he would say, "Steve, if you just show up for work, you are ahead of half the workforce. You just show up." I believe the same thing could be said of prayer. If you just show up, you're ahead of half the people that call themselves Christ followers, because a lot of people just don't pray. So as we embark on this brand new year of 2023, I hope that all of you will take advantage of the opportunity to begin to experience prayer and to explore prayer and to learn about prayer in maybe a way that you never have. And here's what I believe. I believe that God is going to do something so incredible and foundational to our church, to us collectively, and to our lives individually. So I hope that you'll really, really jump in with us and become a part of this incredible month of prayer of January, okay? Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for prayer. We just, you know, communication with God. It's conversations, Lord. Sometimes we make it more complicated than it really is. And I just pray, God, that you would give us the courage and the desire and really get passionate about the fact that, God, we want to know you in a deeper way and experience you in a deeper way. So I pray that this month of January is going to be an incredible month for Pacific Life Church. An incredible month for each of us individually. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.